Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we give you thanks for gathering us today and every day, for the provision of our necessities and the cure of all who are in need, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. The word of God for the people of God.
A reading from Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told Jesus once about her. Jesus came and took her hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her. She began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For this is what I came out to do." And he went throughout the Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you may know that I wasn't here last Sunday. Not only that, last week I planted many things, and none of them went with the original plan. none of them. First of all, because I signed up for the weekend intensive course, I wasn't able to join the turkey dinner. But I taught myself, that's okay. I can still meet my brothers and sisters on Sunday. And I will dress up for my team again, just like what I did last time when I was the liturgist. Some of you may remember that day. The intensive course was on Friday and Saturday, 2 days, for the last weekend. And I was in a rush to go home to prepare the Sunday service. In the traffic jam on Route 9, I got a call from my wife saying that Angela is in ER all day. Now, some of you have known what happened next. I called Pastor Steve. He got my back. Not only that, he offered caring prayers. And some other brothers and sisters called us, left a message. And I really felt support and care from my church family. On the game day, you know what that means, game day. Angela got discharged from the hospital because stomach bugs are contagious. So I had to cancel the Super Bowl party at my house. And Angela is still very weak. She couldn't have anything except a flute. So I cooked the soup for her, which means all the party food are gone. And before the game started, Angela felt asleep, pale, and exhausted. It was the longest weekend ever. When my wife and I finally sit in front of TV, before the game starts, I told my wife, Patriots would not go wrong tonight. And you know, after Seahawks dramatically received the ball, 20 seconds left, they were ready to make the last move. I literally lost hope. I grabbed the remote, make the last plan. I told myself, I would turn off the TV right before any of them touch the Zoom. I feel like it's not only about the game. It's just too much for the day. There was not even one thing going right. I couldn't bear it. Light my day ends like this. But and then you all know what happened. I would be very sorry if I have missed the moment when Mr. Butler caught the ball. All of a sudden, my wife jumped in the air with joy, and I caught her in my arms. See? I am a good catcher too, huh? Well, the remote in my hand was broken, but at least I know my wife still can jump. But at the same time, I realized how narrow my mind was and how quickly I was ready to give up. Technically, I had given up with no hope at all. You know, I'm sure we have heard many positive messages about the game, about how Mr. Butler caught the ball, such as remain focused or fully prepared or fight to the end, never give up. We can learn a lot from them. as a preacher, I cannot simply just take these messages and mix up with the biblical stories and pretend they are my message. But I did find something related to our faith. During the game, one of the reporters repeated a message from Seahawks. It goes, "This game is not a mystery. It is a player's game." This is true. They are good players. They played with their efforts. They pushed their limits further and further. I agree that it was a player's game. But after the game, during the interview with Mr. Butler, the first sentence he said was, "I am blessed." When he felt blessed, at least for him, there was something beyond his own play and skills. He prefers to use the word blessed to describe the whole thing. I am not saying that because what Seahawks said, God changed the result. Don't get me wrong there, I'm not saying that. I am saying that at least for Butler, this is not something simply physical. On some level, it is also spiritual somehow. Does it sound familiar? Like St. Paul says in the Bible, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." We are players of our own games. We all have our own situations. Sometimes when things do not go well as we planned or expected, we just don't want to deal with it, or we wish for a new start. The point is that even though giving up is a possibility or an option, can we really give up the game we are a part of? Most of the time, we thought we can start a new game, but the truth is that we just repeat the old game again if we quit, when for us there seems no hopes. Yet if we think like Paul, like Butler, somehow transformations will happen when we really work hard on what we do. This is the mystery of life. Our tireless work will pay off, and we encounter God with hope, trust, and confidence. At this point, we can say, "I am truly blessed." Based on this, we may see the difference between God's will and the human mind. As a human being, very often we may be like the people in Simon's town, just as the story tells us. It is a comfortable way to keep the Lord within their own lives. But what they did was to make Jesus Christ their own Lord. That's why they hunted for Jesus. They need the Jesus in their life. Well, I guess if it was possible, they would keep Jesus in their tongue like forever. How could that? A personal God, a caring personal God. You can let the God do whatever you ask. But there's a difference between God's will and the human mind. What God asks for us is to follow Jesus Christ in love and action, to be strengthened in faith again and again. God is not simply, not only simply living in our own lives. God is also the transcendent God, not limited by human experience or desires. If we really look at the biblical story carefully, you can imagine what Jesus did. He lifted up Simon's mother-in-law, and then the fever is gone. When they asked Jesus to stay, Jesus left. Well, one thing about the game really attracted to me is that there were many famous players, like Tom Brady, everybody loves him, or Rob Gronkowski, or other famous players. Among them, Mr. Butler may be the last famous player. And no one would say, hey, I will watch the ball game because Mr. Butler play. No one would say that before the game. But eventually, this last famous player was the real game changer that night. So in God's eyes, there is no one less famous than others. Everyone can be the game changer. So for the younger children, don't say that, hey, this is my grandma's church, or this is my grandpa's church. Or some will say, hey, this is Pastor Steve's ministry. Or what they do is much better than if I do it. But this is the journey for all of us. My daughter Angela is not here today. But if she is here, I will say this to her with confidence. Follow Jesus Christ. Work hard. You can be the game changer. So do not let our own limitations narrow our vision. Do not let our minds limit the ability of our Lord. Think big. Dream big. This is the difference. Do not be the people in the tongue. When Jesus learned what they want, Jesus said, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For this is what I came out to do." Jesus wasn't saying that, let me go. Jesus said, let us go. This is an invitation for all of us. This is why his message spread throughout Galilee, Jerusalem, and all Judea in this world to the end of the earth. This is the reason a person from China is preaching at St. Matthew's. God is asking us, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? My brothers and sisters, are you willing to follow Jesus Christ? If we do, we may meet our limits again and again. Yet our life will be lifted onto new levels again and again. It is painful, yet fruitful for each of the new level. It will be full of struggles, but this is how our lives transformed. If we do, can we say it together? Here am I, send me. Let's say it together. Here am I, send me.